Speaking on this program is Brother Tony Lawrence.
Why don't we tithe? Now, that's a very interesting study. And tonight's lesson is going to be a Bible study, so I encourage you to take your Bibles out. If you didn't bring yours with you, then reach in front of you. There are Bibles in the pew, and I want you to follow along as we're going to go quickly through some of these passages of Scripture. To begin with, the religious world is in a state of confusion on a number of different issues. It doesn't take a person long to realize that you can turn on a religious radio station and you can listen to a number of different people and they will tell you, you must do this or you must do that. In fact, you can even listen to some of the more popular people like Dave Ramsey. And Dave Ramsey will tell you, you need to tithe at your church. And yet we realize, as we approach this subject, that it's not God who's creating the confusion. It's not that our Bibles are difficult to understand. It's not that we cannot comprehend what God says. In fact, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14:33, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints." The problem comes in is when man does not carefully study his Bible to make sure that everything that he says, everything that he does is correct in God's sight. The Bible teaches us to study, as the King James would say in 2 Timothy 2:15, or to be diligent, the New King James, the Word of God that we may be able to rightly divide the word of truth. That is, we're able to understand it correctly. So what I want us to do tonight is to look at three very simple things. Number one, I want to look at giving in the Old Testament because you have to see the tithing in the framework of giving. Number two, I'd like for us to look at giving in the New Testament, and particularly as it relates to the subject of tithing. And then number three, to look about some principles that relate to giving in God's Word. So let's begin first of all. And if you go to the Old Testament, you realize there are two types of giving that the people gave. The first was required. God said, I want you to give this, I want you to give that. And He was very specific about that. When you and I study further, we understand that on top of that, there were things called free will giving. That is, where the people had a choice, where they wanted to give or not give. And when it comes to the specific subject of tithing, and we approach our Bibles, we understand that it's mentioned twice prior to the giving of the Old Testament law at Mount Sinai. It's mentioned, first of all, with regards to Abraham. And many of you may remember in Genesis chapter 14 that Lot was taken captive, and that these kings gathered together, and when they returned, when Abraham went to meet the kings and rescued Lot, he came back to the king of Salem, whose name was Melchizedek, and he paid tithes to him. He was both the king and priest of Salem, which was a forerunner of Jerusalem. Later on in Genesis 28, we have Jacob there offering to pay God tithes if he would bless him. So let's notice just very briefly. I'm not going to read all these verses because if we did, we'd be here about another hour. So I want you to understand, I'm not going to read all of these verses. But if you come down to the last part of verse 20, and the reason why they're all up here is so you can study them and look them up yourselves further. And be blessed of God Most High, who delivered your enemies into your hand, and he gave him, he, Abraham, gave him, that is Melchizedek, a tithe of all. And the word tithe means 10%. It's based on the word 10. So go to chapter 28, talking about Jacob, in the latter part of verse 22. And this stone which I have set as a pillar shall be God's house, and all of you give me, or that you give me, I will surely give a tenth to you. The word tenth there is the same word for tithe back there in Genesis chapter 14. But now let's move to the really basic principles here. And that is, let's look at required giving under the Old Testament. Now, the reason why I said this is going to be a Bible study is because it's going to require our focusing our minds on what the Old Testament tithe was. In fact, we're going to learn that there were three tithes, not one, three of them, with three different purposes. And the first tithe was for the Levites. As Brother Allen read just a few moments ago from the book of Leviticus, it was specifically devoted to them. And let me explain to you a little bit about how this worked. When the children of Israel came in to settle the promised land, God had Joshua to divide the land according to proportion. The tribe of Manasseh would get this part. The tribe of Ephraim would get this part. The tribe of Reuben, the tribe of Gad, the tribe of Simeon. But when it came down to the tribe of Levi, they didn't get any land. Because God had said, you are going to be my servants who are going to carry out the various items of worship. And I don't want you tending the fields. I don't want you growing the crops. I want you carrying out my service. And so in exchange for your not getting land, the tithe that is brought in, the 10%, would go to the Levites. Look with me very quickly, Leviticus 27, verses 30 through 33. All the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord. If a man wants to redeem any of his tithes, he shall add one-fifth to it. And concerning the tithe of the herd or the flock, of whatever passes under the rod, the tenth one shall be holy to the Lord. He shall not inquire whether it is good or bad, nor shall he exchange it. If he exchanges it at all, then both it and the one exchange shall be holy. It shall not be redeemed. I just want you to notice here, it involves the seed. If you went out and grew corn, 10% of the corn that you grew had to go to the Lord. If you grew some kind of spice, 10% of that had to go to the Lord. If you grew sheep, if you were a tender of oxen, one out of every 10 was to be devoted to the Lord. And you say, well, I see now how that could be able to help the Levites. Because they can't grow the corn, 10% is going to be given to take care of them. It was holy because it was given to God. Now, as I go to the book of Numbers, he says, behold, I have given the children of Levi all the tithes in Israel as an inheritance in return for the work which they perform, the work of the tabernacle of meeting. And he goes on to say they have to do it or they're going to die. And then I want you to drop down with me to verse 24. For the tithes of the children of Israel, which they offer up as a heave offering to the Lord, I have given to the Levites as an inheritance. So I want you to fix in your mind, the first tithe was 10% of everything they grew, everything that they had as animals that produced during the year was to give it to the Levites. That brings me to the second tithe. You see, that was required of them. They had to give it. But there's also a second tithe that was required every year as well. And this was for the feast. I can go to Deuteronomy 14 and I can see the way this was designed was there were three annual feasts that every Jew had to attend. The Feast of Pentecost, the Feast of Passover, and the Feast of Tabernacles. They would go and spend sometimes a week or more there. And there were various feasts that were to be part of those times of going to Jerusalem. And God intended that when they go there, there be a celebration. And it was not as if you carried a packed meal. God wanted you to carry a feast, a large meal. If the distance was too far, if you, for instance, maybe lived 100 miles away, you'd have a difficult time taking your animals for 100 miles over the rough terrain of the land of Israel. And so God made provision that what you could do, you could sell your animal at your home. You could go to the feast, take that money, and that money then was holy. And with it, you would buy another animal there in Jerusalem, and there you would consume it. Listen to Deuteronomy chapter 14. You shall truly tithe all the increase of your grain that produces, or your field produces year by year. And you shall eat before the Lord your God in the place where He chooses to make His name abide. The tithe of your grain and your new wine, your oil, the firstborn of your herds, your flocks, that you may learn to fear the Lord your God always. But if the journey is too long for you, so that you are not able to carry the tithe, or if the place of the Lord chooses put too far from you, then he goes on to explain, then you can exchange it for money. Now I want you to see the picture here. This first tithe was for the Levites. They ate it. They consumed it. That was given to them. This second tithe was for you to take and you to eat and to be a part of the celebration that you would have. But it required 10% of your food. It required 10% of your animals. And you start thinking about God intended this to be a very festive occasion. Now there's a third tithe. And as you go to the Old Testament, you realize that in Deuteronomy chapter 14, the context continuing on, every third year, they were to set aside part of this and to take care of those people who were poor in the land. Now, some people consider this to be a part of the first tithe. But I believe it's pretty clear from looking at the context that this is separate and distinct. For instance, in Deuteronomy 14:28, at the end of every third year, you shall bring out the tithe of your produce that year and store it up within your gates. And the Levite, because he has no portion nor inheritance with you, and the stranger and the fatherless and the widow who are within your gates may come and eat and be satisfied, that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hand which you do. Notice the tithe of the Levite was every year. But now there must be one for the fatherless, for the widow who is within your gates. And he says, every third year I want you to replenish that. I want you to give this tithe, this 10%. Now let me sort of bring all this together. The first tithe was 10%. The second tithe was 10%. The third tithe was 3.33%. In other words, if you divide it every 3 years, 10%. So they gave every year 23.3% of their income to the Lord. Now that was the required giving. That was not the free will giving, that was the required giving. But let me explain to you. Israel, God's people, were a theocracy. They were their own form of government. It was God's design to take care of the people who did His work. It was a design to take care of the festive occasions, which again was a part of God's work. It was a design to take care of the poor and the needy, which also was a part of God's work. So it was, in some sense, like a form of taxation. And they were to take all of those things and to put them in the storehouses. According to Nehemiah chapter 12, verse 44, he says, "At the same time, some were appointed over the rooms of the storehouse for the offerings, the first fruits and the tithes." You see, they would store this up in storehouses. Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 through 10, which talks about it. God said, "Will you rob God? You have robbed me." But you say, "In what way we have robbed you? In the tithes and in the offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse." I think you get the picture now of the required giving. But now let me move to the free will giving. You see, free will is where a person would say of their own volition, there's something going on and I want to be a part of it. And two instances which are described in the Bible are Exodus chapter 25, 1 and 2, when it came time to build the tabernacle. We need the various elements to construct the tabernacle. And so people began to bring all of the things that would be needed to build it. To the point where Moses had to say, stop, folks. We've got enough. Or you go later to 1 Chronicles 29:9, and now David is preparing for his son Solomon to build the temple. And again, the call goes out. Does anyone want to give? And the people gave freely. Now, I want you to notice the latter part of verse 2. From everyone who gives willingly with his heart, you shall take my offering. 1 Chronicles 29:9, the people rejoiced for they had offered willingly. Because with a loyal heart, they offered willingly to the Lord. What you understand, these were people who gave because they wanted to give. Now let me move quickly to the New Testament discussion of this. The mention of tithing in the New Testament all relates to occurrences before the establishment of the church. In fact, let me just draw your attention to a couple of instances. In Matthew chapter 23, verse 23, Jesus talks about the tithing of the Pharisees and what they tithed. The mint, anise, and cumin. Later on, in Luke chapter 18, there is the picture of a Pharisee who is praying, and he talks about the tithing which he offers. In both cases, you have a hypocritical, self-righteous Pharisee. Listen as we read from Matthew. Woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay the tithe of mint, anise, and cumin, and neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. Now listen carefully. These you ought to have done, and not without leaving the others undone. They were to pay the tithes of the small spices. Now, I'd like for you to imagine people growing their various spices. You may have spices in your home like pepper. You may have cinnamon. Well, these were spices they had. And if they, for instance, harvested a handful, then 10% of that had to go to the law. By the law, had to go to the tithe. They said, okay, now let's be real careful. Every spice that we get, let's give 10%. And Jesus said, you are very particular about that. But he said the very important things. He said, you've neglected those things. He said, you ought to do the other, but you need to make sure you take care of the important things first. Luke 18, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Lord, I'm able to go down the checklist, and I have taken care of every one of these things. But there's not a command anywhere in the New Testament for a person to tithe. Not anywhere. What we do find is today there are no Levites. After the destruction of the temple in AD 70, when God brought the house of Israel to desolation, there's not a Jew on the face of the earth that can go back and prove his lineage. You find a Jew today and you ask him, of what tribe are you? He can't prove it. He can't tell you. Number two, there are no feasts at the temple. And if there are no feasts at the temple, then how could you participate in the second tithe? Number three, we're not Jews. In fact, the New Testament makes it clear that it does not matter if a person is a Jew or a Gentile. because there's an issue that's taken place with regards to that Old Testament law. Well, if there are no Levites to whom that we would pay the tithe, if there are no feasts at the temple, and we are not Jews, it should be pretty obvious that tithing is not something that we do in the New Testament. And then this last part here, and listen carefully. If you've not listened to anything else that I've said, listen to this. The Old Testament has been replaced by the New Testament. The Old Testament had all of these requirements, and it, the New Testament, does not. Listen carefully. Colossians 2:14, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and He has taken them out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, talking about the Old Testament law. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verses 8 and 9, previously saying, sacrifice and burnt offerings, and offerings for sin you did not desire, nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. Then He said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first that He may establish the second. God took that Old Testament law out of the way and gave us a new, better covenant, new, better law established upon better promises, as chapters 8 and 9 of Hebrews would emphasize. So, what's the bottom line? Tithing is not a part of the New Testament. That's why we do not tithe. But now, I would not be treating you fair had I not taken some time to discuss giving in the New Testament. Because giving in the New Testament involves giving as one is prospered, according to 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 and 2. It is to be purposed and cheerful, 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 7. And it's to be of our own accord. In the New Testament, all our giving is free will giving. There's no one who's going to come to you and say, okay, you have to give this much percent to the Lord. Because that's not a part of the New Testament system. Listen carefully as Paul speaks to the Corinthians. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, and storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. Every Sunday morning, we pass around a plate. You could pass around a basket, whatever you want to. And we lay something in there, storing up so that we can be able to take care of the Lord's work. But it's all free will giving. No one standing there saying, you must give this, you must give that. And that was the same orders He gave to the churches of Galatia. It's everywhere. In 2 Corinthians 9:7, so let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. God wants me to give. He wants you to give because you've made a plan. You made a purpose in your heart. That's what I want to do. And God wants it to be free. Brother Stanley led the song, freely, freely. That's the way God wants us to give. 2 Corinthians 8:3, for I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing. He's talking about the gift of the Macedonians. Whenever you give, it's because you want to give. God saw that that's the way it comes from a man's heart. Under the Old Testament, you became a Jew because you were born a Jew. Under the New Testament, you become a Christian because you choose to be a Christian. It's a choice you make. Under the Old Testament, you gave because there was a prescribed amount. Under the New Testament, you give freely because you choose to give. And you want to give. Now let me talk about some principles that are involved here. God has always expected man's best regardless of his wealth. If a man was poor as Job's turkey, and I never know, didn't know what kind of turkey Job had, but if you were that poor, you still were expected to give God the very best that you had. On the other hand, if you were a super wealthy person, you were still expected to give God the very best that you have. God knows our ability. You may fool people here on this earth, but you're not fooling God. He knows your heart. He knows what you have. He gave it to you. In the early church, there were some people who had land and houses, and they sold them. Came and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. They knew that there were needs to be taken care of, and they freely gave. You think about Ananias and Sapphira. After Barnabas gave what he gave, they saw that there was a lot of glory that was in that. Some people got patted on the back. And they thought, well, you know what we'll do? We'll sell this parcel of land. We'll come and we'll give part of it. And we'll make out like that was all of it. And the statement made to them was, while it was your own, was it not within your power? You didn't have to give this, but you gave, and you're supposed to give freely, and you're supposed to give for the right reason. But some only gave a mite. The widow's two mites. And though that may have been all, some people would look at it and say, that's just, that's nothing. She gave all that she had. Now, God knows our ability, and God knows what we can give. Let me carry to Acts 4:34. Nor was there any among them who lacked, for all who possessed lands or houses sold and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold. They saw that the needs were met. And we've got to see that the needs are met as well. In Luke 12:48, for to whom much is given, from him much will be required. To whom much has been committed of him, they will ask the more. The more God gives us, the more God expects from us. You know, you take a poor person out here, for him to give 23.3% of what he makes might mean the difference in him eating or not eating. But you can take a wealthy man out here, he may be able to give 20, 30%, 50%, and still have plenty to survive and do well. See, that's the reason why God looks at us and says, you give according to your ability, as you've been prospered, willingly and freely. 2 Corinthians 8:12, for if there is first a willing mind, it is accepted according to what one has, and not according to what one does not have. God's not looking to take from you if you don't have anything to give. Why do we give? We give to meet the needs of the poor. Jesus said, the poor you have will you always. There will never be a time when we will not have to have benevolent work. There will never be a time when there will not be people who are hungry and needy to support the preaching of the gospel. We are to be the pillar and the ground of the truth. And if anybody's going to do it, we're going to have to do it. The devil is not going to do it. Neither are his servants. And then number three of this, to receive the joy of being like God. You know what Jesus taught in Acts 20, verse 35? Paul makes a reference to it. He said, the Lord said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. There's some joy attached to giving. And knowing that we have furthered the Lord's work, that we brought glory and honor to His name by giving so that poor people can be helped. There's a lot to that. The greatest gift that you can give God, though, is not your money, not your house, not your land, not your cars, not your jewelry, not your gold, not your silver, not your iPod, not your cell phone. I try to make it a little bit applicable to the young guys. The greatest gift that you can give God is yourself. If you give God yourself, everything else will fall in line. Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Jesus said, I gave my life for you. We sing the song, I gave my life for thee, what hast thou given me? 2 Corinthians 9:15 says, thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift. I'd like to encourage you tonight, if you're not a Christian, to give your life to the Lord. Make the decision that these 10 other people who we've heard about this last week who have decided, I want to put the Lord number one in my life. I want to be a Christian. I want to serve God faithfully. Why not do that tonight? I can assure you there's no greater joy in the presence of the angels of heaven than to see one sinner that's been a sinner and no longer serving the devil. You're a child of God who needs to come home and needs to make things right with God. We encourage you to do that tonight.